Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Moscow. I'm Shay Bowes, still here, and you're glad to hear it, I'm sure. Joined by Augie, you know, the brains behind the operation, the right-hand man.
The rear gunner, let's call him. And, you know.
Only one game in town, of course, and that's the Middle East, the escalating show in Iran. This absolutely essential war, right? It had to happen. I mean, this war had to happen. Yeah, we were minutes away from being attacked by the Iranians. Yeah, but we've been minutes from being attacked by the Iranians for 40 years, according to the Israelis. But anyway, we move on. And one thing we noticed is things are going so well right now in the Pentagon and in the White House. After Mr. Trump's hour-long speech yesterday, where he took an hour to say nothing except how great America is, we did notice something that's very encouraging, right, Augie? And that is the fact that right in the middle of a war, what you need to do is sack your top general, right, Augie? It's a great idea.
Absolutely correct, Shay. If your war is going too well and you get tired of winning, you just purge your generals, just like Pete Hegseth just did.
Yeah, and the other thing we notice is that if you have no air defenses, no military, no missiles, you should talk to Iran, because they will teach you how to bomb your enemies with no missiles, how to shoot down enemy aircraft who are bombing you without any air defense, yeah, and how to get basically hundreds of thousands of people to come out on the street to support your government when everybody hates you, because that's what Iran's doing right now, right, Augie?
Absolutely. I think they're utilizing the Donzu strategy.
Now, things are going better and better, of course, when it comes to NATO. It's hard to know whether who'll outlast Tehran. Will it be NATO, Augie, or will it be, who knows, Tel Aviv? The way things are going, it's hard to really know. But we did notice that Mr. Trump, during one of his Easter addresses, Mr. Trump has got very religious all of a sudden, Augie. You notice that invoking divine will onto his arms, people touching him a lot this year. It's kind of a bit strange. But we did notice he did put the boot into old Mike Crowleyon, and Mike Crowleyon wasn't at all happy about it. Basically, revealing that Macron is a bit of a wuss, that he gets the crap beaten out of him by his wife, and he's still recovering from the right hook in the chin. I think it was actually a left hook to the eyeball, but either way, this is pretty grim stuff, and it's pretty high-level trolling from the big Don, for sure. Runa, Augie.
Then I call up France, Macron, whose wife treats him extremely badly. And he's still recovering from the right to the jaw. Boom. Then another one. Boom. And I say, Emmanuel, we'd love to have some help in the Gulf, even though we're setting records and knocking out bad people and knocking out ballistic missiles. We'd love to have some help. If you could you please send ships immediately? No, no, no. We cannot do that, Donald. We can do that after the war is won. I said, no, I don't need after the war is won, Emmanuel. Many of them said, we'll be there after the war is completed.
I mean, I can't really blame Trump, Che. I can't really blame Trump. These are your friends and allies at your worst moment.
And you mentioned last week, actually, that, you know, they pay over 65% or something of the bill for this big party at the beach. And then suddenly, you know, when the shark comes, they're the ones that are sent out, to rescue everybody. You know, you got to give them their credit. They are kind of basically saying, you know, we're the big payer. You know, what do we get for it? Yeah, abuse. Yeah, just like poor old Macron at the hands of his wife. Interesting that President Trump would talk about knocking out ballistic missiles, knocking out air forces. Brigitte knocked out Emmanuel. Well, it's a start. Now, talking about being very good, something else that US politicians seem to be very good at. Hello, Nancy Pelosi. How are you getting on? Like, you think she earned a couple of, you know, million bucks a year. Nobody knows how on her salary. But what they're also very good at is making a ton of money playing the stock market during wars. Now, a lot of these politicians, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Senate and in the House, get briefings, intelligence briefings, right? I think it's part of the gig. You get brought into a room, you're told, you can't talk about this outside. You say, well, this is what we're planning on doing, this is what the president wants you to know about, this is what he wants your support for. They come out of the room and they go and they sort of think, yeah, this is a good idea, bad idea, I'm going to vote this way or that way. No, not really. It seems what they do immediately is get down to the betting office or to the stockbroker and start playing the stock market for their own advantage, right, Augie?
Absolutely correct, Che, and it does look a little bit suspicious. Just hear me out. Last week, the oil futures saw a spike in trades 15 minutes before Trump announced that he's taking a break in bombing Iran, and some guys, we don't know who, have made $500 million in those trades. Similarly, a lot of people place bets on Polymarket, and there has been a sharp increase in bets that were proven lucrative right before Venezuelan endeavor. Somebody is making good money on this, Che.
Yeah, somebody. Now, maybe that somebody is from North Carolina. You know, Augie's, I found a little video which suggests that somebody's doing very well from the war. And of course, look, we know, you know, I know that, you know, it doesn't really matter which way the dice falls. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. They bomb the shit out of everybody anyway. Check a look, check the table. Who's bombed who? They've all bombed everybody. There's always going to get a war, red or blue, Republican, Democrat. It doesn't matter. The promise is no more war, no more forever wars. You're getting a war. If you're going to get a war, you might as well play the game. I make a living. Yeah, let's have a look at North Carolina. Someone down there is doing very, very, very well indeed. Run the video, Augie.
I think this video proves you wrong, Che, because you said they're gonna run off to a stockbroker. They don't. They just trade right at the Senate.
Yeah, it's the very important business, Augie, of running the country. Well, filling up your bank balance too, you know, huh? Zelensky, you know, maybe they're learning from you. And guess what? Surprise, surprise, as the elites fill their pockets, you know, playing games with your taxes. That's what they're doing, remember? They get big grants, big funding from big pharma, from big weapons makers, from AIPAC. Oh, surprise, surprise. And then they take that money and they gamble on the stock market, on the very companies that they're working for to lobby for in the government so that these wars actually happen. This is the greasy, greasy mill. Meanwhile, out on the streets, as Augie's about to tell us, ordinary Americans, ordinary Europeans are getting the piss ripped out of them when it comes to paying for fuel, for diesel, for petrol, for gasoline. And remember, a big chunk of those costs that you pay at the pump when you're filling up your car, to bring your kids to school, paying your taxes, doing your thing, a big chunk of that money goes straight to the government in taxes as well. Augie, I think people are getting the piss ripped out of them. Correct?
Absolutely correct, Che. And if we're talking about the United States, in states like Arizona and Nevada, gas has reached $6 per gallon. And America is a net exporter of gas. Can you imagine what's happening to the Europeans?
Yeah. And one final little note. During Donald Trump's speech, you can check it, he said that America now produces more gas and oil than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined, right? He said, we're the greatest at it. Then why the f*** are ordinary Americans paying more than people in other countries? Yeah, and by the way, they don't produce more oil than Saudi Arabia and Russia combined. He made that up. It's not like the big Don to do that, right? No. Let's have a look at, in our AI slop section, which has become a bit of a thing on the show, let's have a look at what the European petrol station or gas station of the future is probably going to look like. Because at this stage, we're probably looking at $200 a barrel for crude oil. Who knows what's going to happen next when it comes to energy in Europe? Oh, come back, Nord Stream. All is forgiven. Let's have a look. Run the video, Augie. Weimar Republic sort of vibes, eh, Augie?
At least they gotta make them fancy on all this Europeanish.
You know, bookmark this section. You never know, guys, you never know. Let's stick with the theme of ordinary taxpayers, ordinary citizens getting the piss ripped out of them and getting basically abused by their own governments. There's one man who's exceptionally good at abusing his own citizens. Forget about the three Ukrainian rent boys. We're not allowed to talk about that because of the super injunction. Check it out. Yeah. And that's, as we say, is Keir. Good old Keir. Now, Keir, who isn't queer, of course, has become a bit of a meme of himself, right? Remember the punch bag? Yeah, check it out. He's a very weak man, an exceptionally sort of cringy person. And he's become the king of cringe, right, Augie? And while he's the king of cringe, instead of standing up for ordinary British taxpayers who are in a world of trouble right now, forget about immigration, forget about rocketing crime, the cost of living in the UK is going through the roof while Keir's popularity ratings are going through the floor. Right, Ali, you got some numbers.
Absolutely correct, Shane. The numbers are not good for the British people. You see, even before the Iran war started, according to different accounts, either 11% or even 30% of households in the UK were officially energy poor, meaning they don't have money for fuel, don't have money for gas, heating and so on. Now, with the prices skyrocketing four times more, we can only imagine how bad it's going to get. And what is Mr. Starmer doing meanwhile? Abusing our sense of aesthetics.
Yeah, and look, of course, as we speak, more cash going to Ukraine. Jesus, when will they wake up to this complete bullshit? But look, let's face it. You know, there are some times when it takes a leader to step up and show his connection to the people, to the ordinary people, right, Augie? And of course, in the UK, among working classes, and my old friend George Galloway will attest to this, football, going down to the local football ground every week, supporting your team, be it miners, steelworkers, shipbuilders, this was a huge glue that held the country together. And good old Keir, being a man of the people, he's decided to take to the pitch and play a bit of footy, yeah. Get stuck in. Bit of soccer to you if you're in the States. Yeah, let's have a look. It's going to be just great. Yeah, I can feel this being completely cringeless. Right, Augie? Yeah, run it. Oh,
he's moving like a 60-year-old womb. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. My grandma is playing better football than this man.
Blop, 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 blop. He's probably had more men than your grandma.
And I have to say this, Shay. Keir Starmer playing football there, nipples protruding, looks disgusting.
You put me right off my crevetki, my prawns. I can't eat my dinner now. Oh, what a reprehensible toad. Now, as you watch Sir Keir Starmer, or Mr. Keir, the British Prime Minister playing football, getting down with the locals, probably playing with a bunch of police officers and lawyers. Let's not forget his political party, the Labour Party, the Left Party, the Socialist Party, please give me a break, in the UK, has been completely mired in scandal. So many people involved in sort of dodgy paedophile scandals, failing to investigate the huge Asian rape gangs. A complete show. He himself involved in a terrible, let's say, issue with some Ukrainians burning his house and his car. We can't talk about it. Let's have a look at an AI video. Now, it is AI, but it may be closer to reality than any other British Labour Party campaign, because they're facing into local elections right now, and they're going to be completely eviscerated. The BBC, who often sort of says that it's a fact-checking organisation that never tells a lie, asked Mr. Trump when they cut his one-hour speech into 5 minutes. They also have been a nest of these paedophiles, which they did nothing about. The most recent, a guy called Scott Mills, who you'll see at the end of the line in this video, who had a sexual encounter with a boy under 16 years ago. The BBC knew about it and did nothing about it. Yeah, these are not very good people. Let's have a look at the dream team, all led by Sir Keir Starmer. Yeah, a lovely bunch of people. Run it, Augie.
We are here.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We are here today to launch Labour.
That's Jimmy Savile.
Pride to win the local.
One of the most prolific, aggressive, vile paedophiles that ever lived.
Star team.
Best friends with King Charles, by the way.
Veteran Labour MP Nick Brown.
You'd better believe it. I am just at a total loss as to why I was suspended.
Accompanied by none other than the superstar himself, Peter Mandelson.
Oh, yeah.
Off, 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 off.
Let me be clear.
He wants to get his trousers off.
I am confident that with my team at Centre of British Politics, we can win this election.
Never mind winning X elections,
there we
you've
go.
Won my election and
Andrew.
It's a stiffy.
All right, I gotta turn this off, Che. I'm sorry.
Disgusting. awful, awful. Now, living Keir, who's an avid advocate and defender of Israel, by the way, strangely enough, his wife is also a Jewish lady whose father was involved in the British Jewish movement. Very interesting sort of connections there. Now, Keir is very much a supporter of Israel and has remained very quiet on the following news development. The Israeli Knesset, or Parliament, has just voted to allow potentially up to 10,000 people, and they won't all get executed, there's the good news, to be hung by the neck until dead on the basis of convictions for terrorism. Now, just so happens that all of these people will be Palestinians, and a lot of Palestinians are residing in jails and prisons on terrorism charges, who've never been tried, who've been basically, you know, mandatorily locked up in these prisons in brutal conditions. A lot of children as well. Now, I'm not saying the children are going to get executed, but what's most grim about this, Augie, I think you'll agree, when Augie discovered this, is the celebratory tone of how they've sort of essentially celebrated this thing. Not only the campaign where they wore little golden nooses on their lapels in the parliament, this guy Ben Gvir, an exceptionally repellent man, but also when they won, when they actually got this vote over the line. Imagine celebrating being able to kill people by hanging. Very, very grim stuff. Let's have a look at their sort of promotional video, and afterwards we'll look how they behaved when they got this over the line, let's say. Very, very grim stuff. Run it, Augie.
Minister, I saw that the Iranians are saying you're dead.
I'm dying to execute terrorists. Death penalty for terrorists.
And dear viewers, let me explain this to you. They're saying it's death penalty for terrorists, but in fact, it's ethnically based death penalty, only for a specific kind of people.
Wow, that sounds like KKK kind of territory, Augie, like Ku Klux Klan kind of stuff.
I'd say, Shay, it sounds even like some 1941 bullshit.
Yeah, very, very spooky. Kind of shit that went on in the villages of Belarus and Ukraine as the Nazis rolled across the border, and villages and towns and cities where the ancestors of many of the people who now call themselves Israelis came from. And maybe you think that we're making it all up, we're pushing too hard, we're kind of saying that they were celebrating, and it, you know, they weren't really celebrating, you know, this is all propaganda, anti-Israeli propaganda. We would report about this and talk about this, it doesn't matter who does it, the British, the Irish, the French, the Russians, anybody. Celebrating passing a law where you can hang a ton of people with very dubious convictions after occupying their territory and then calling them terrorists. You know, come on, I'm Irish. I know a little a bit about this. Okay? Anybody doing that, we'd be reporting about it and saying, hold on, this doesn't look too good. Anyway, Augie's after digging up a little video. Check this if you think we're exaggerating that they celebrated. Yeah? Run the video, Augie. Yeah, on the lapels. Check it, Ilya. The little hanging noose. Grim. Grim stuff, right? Now, of course, what would an episode be without visiting our old friends in Ukraine? You remember this place, right? Because like a month ago, it was top of the headlines. But right now, you got to go around with a little map showing people. Remember Ukraine? Little dictator, little actor guy, very corrupt, killing his own people. Remember, started a war for NATO, losing, getting his ass. You got to kind of remind people. I go to a bar, I say, how are things in Ukraine? I say, where? I say, yeah, I'm watching the Middle East. No, no. So Ukraine, of course, had to try and inject itself into the conflict, right, Augie, in the Middle East. How better to do that than to start lying to everybody about how brilliant your anti-drone capabilities were? Now, let me get this right. Riddle me this, Augie. How come you're complaining and bitching and moaning that the Russians are bombing the shit out of you, and then you got no air defense, and you know nobody can save you because the Russians are saturating you in drones and bombing everything, your ice cream factories, everything. And in the meantime, then go to people like the UAE and say, you know, we could stop them. We know how to stop them. It doesn't look like it. Check out Ukraine, right? Kryvyi Rog, the city that Zelensky grew up in, got the shit bombed out of it 2 days ago. Yeah, no, but Zelensky, where is he? He's off in the Middle East looking for some money, some dengi. But it didn't work out too well, right, Augie? Because the people in the UAE aren't stupid. Yeah, newsflash. And they very rapidly worked out that Zelensky is a fraudster and he's full of shit, and that the shit he wanted to sell them didn't really work at all. Yeah. Newsflash. Yeah. 4 years of it. We've been watching you, Mr. Z. You're a fake. Run the video, Augie. Fucking classic,
complete
right?
Ineffectiveness.
Really good.
Has not prevented a single attack. Che, I think I got the secret of Ukrainian anti-drone technology.
Go on.
You don't shoot down drones. You just say you do.
Ah. Just like the Americans when it comes to their fighter jets. So Zelensky got, the bums rush. He got told to F off out of UAE. But look, you know, at least when he gets back to Ukraine, he can go and have a Big Mac, large fries. He can even, go large and get obese really rapidly. Because, you know, I remember people used to say about the Russians, you know, are scrambling to stand in a queue to buy a pair of Levi's or to buy a video recorder or all this bullshit. Such bullshit was told about the Soviet Union and post-Soviet Russia and places like Armenia and Azerbaijan, all these lovely countries which had beautiful cultures, by the way, all of their own, nurtured by the Soviet Union. That when they got their first McDonald's, people were camping outside. Yeah, maybe in 1991 they were, just to see what that was like. We didn't get one in Dublin for until the 80s, and we camped outside. But in reality, where would you find people actually trampling themselves to death to get in and have a burger? And it sort of represents something, as Augie said, about what this war for NATO, war for the West is all about. This post-Soviet idiocy that only good things come from the West. Diabetes, endless wars, and massive corruption and profits for the military-industrial complex. Yeah, check out the latest McDonald's that opened in Ukraine. Yeah, it's all a bit weird. Run it, Augie.
This is Ukraine 2026.
So this isn't the first McDonald's to open in post-Soviet Ukraine, right, Augie?
It's like 115th McDonald's that has opened in Ukraine. Definitely worth all those deaths.
Yeah, all a bit weird. Now, you see these kids running into McDonald's, Augie. Maybe this is something to do with the story we covered. Remember where you say, you want to buy 20,000 cheeseburgers? It's easy. You just got to go east, get the shit kicked out of you, maybe lose your legs, maybe your hands too, but someone can stuff those cheeseburgers into your face for you. Yeah, remember, conscription for McDonald's? Maybe that's what they're running in here for. Who knows? Anyway, speaking about America and takeaway, have a look at this. A poor young Ukrainian was hanging out with his American friend in Kiev when suddenly the busification boys, Zelensky's kidnappers, turned up at the party. And they started to beat the crap out of the guy, abuse him, probably threaten him, looking for cash, didn't have any. You're coming with us, you're going to die for Mark Rutte and Ursula von der Leyen. Now, somebody got involved to end this takeaway, and it was an American. Please, no, I'm an American. You can't do this. I didn't read about this on CNN or the BBC. This isn't how things work in a beautiful democracy in the center of liberty and freedom, which is Ukraine, right? Wrong, my friend. Nobody could save this particular American takeaway because it went straight ahead, straight to the meat grinder. Mmm, delicious burgers. Run it, Augie.
I'm American.
Get out of here.
So what?
Stop. Hey. Get out. Stop.
I'm American. Yeah. And?
Get out.
You got any money? No?
Dude, they're hitting him.
Maybe if he was Angelina Jolie, that could have helped.
Oh, or Sean Penn's boyfriend or girlfriend. Or whatever it is. So you gotta ask yourself, what are these Americans doing in Kiev right now? Well, they're either doing one of two things, Augie and I have agreed. They're either working for the deep state, the US, the British, or, you know, the glorious secret services, let's say, or the media, or they're volunteered because they owe a ton of money back home, or they were convicted of paedophilia or rape, or all the other things that usually spur these people to come and join the Ukrainian Nazi-aligned army. It's a fact. Check it out. Now, we have a bit of interesting video of a very well-fed British or American Canadian. We're not sure exactly where he's from, but he's definitely not Russian or Ukrainian. That's a fact. Who decided to strip off his clothes and sit in the window of his his hotel in Lvov and give the local gendarmes a bit of a difficult time. So what does this tell you about what's actually going on here? At the start of this conflict, you know, this was a big hype thing. You know, the International Legion, it was something that they were very proud of. They disbanded the International Legion now because nobody wants to join it. All they can do is get poor Colombian farmers and, you know, gauchos to come and fight in their trenches and die en masse. A lot of people dying. Check this guy out. It seems to me, Anangi, that this is the destination for the people who are already deluded enough and mentally ill enough to believe the bullshit Zelensky was telling them about poor victim Ukraine. Have a look at them now. They seem to have become poor victims themselves. Boo-hoo. Let's shed a tear from... I don't think so. Run it, Augie.
At least he's dressed now, and then suddenly...
Gets better.
He's gonna...
You notice he's...
There you go. Now, Che, this got me worried. We talk about Ukraine a little too much, too. What if this is going to happen to us as well?
What do you mean, if it's going to happen? What if it's already happened? Ilya, put me and Augie sitting together in a window naked like that, or something. So that's the end of yet another episode. The train has pulled into the station. Time to get off, sober up, and head home to our little apartments and our delicious girlfriends. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another episode. We've been delighted to have you along for the ride. We love making it, and we love the fact that you guys are engaging in ever bigger numbers. You know, what's the episode been about this week? Well, it's obvious, okay? It's obvious that the Americans are starting to recognize that just making stuff up and saying everything is great, you know? That old famous meme of the doggy sitting in the burning building, you know, this is fine. It's really coming true. It was a bad idea in the first place. There's still time to sort of retreat out of the burning room and say, look, we screwed up a bit, and go back to America and maybe start to fix a few of the problems back home. Do we think it's actually going to happen? Probably not. Yeah. But from Augie and from me, it's goodbye for now. We'll see you same time, same place next week. And we predict that there'll be plenty more to come from the clown show, let's say. We'll see you then. Mind yourselves.